Welcome back to the Roundtable. Ray Graff filling in for Joe Donahue. Time now, as you may have guessed, for our weekly book picks. And joining us today, Joan Grenier of the Odyssey Bookshop in South Hadley, Massachusetts. Joan, welcome.
Hi, Ray. Thank you.
You know, it's great that the Odyssey Bookshop is still here, given the horrors of the last 14 months for many retailers. You have made it, or at least you are making it through. What has the last year been like for you?
Oh, it's been tough, Ray. It's getting better now, but we were closed for 3 months, and we're still on just Tuesday through Saturday, 11:30 to 5:30. So we're not 7 days yet. But with a lot of help from friends and the federal government, we are here, and I'm feeling like we have turned a corner. Mount Holyoke College, which is across the street, will be in person in September, and that's going to make a big difference.
Well, that's great news, and it does feel like we are turning a corner, so there's reason for optimism. You brought a great list today, and let's get right to it.
Okay, well, I'm going to start with two novels that probably couldn't be more different. The first one is Liberty by Caitlin Greenidge. It, in my opinion, is one of the best historical novels I've read this year. The first sentence catches you. I saw my mother raise a man from the dead. And this is set during Civil War. It's in Brooklyn. And it's based on a woman, Susan Smith McKinney Stewart, who was the first Black woman doctor in New York State and the third in the country. And this is in the days of homeopathy was the main form of medical care. So she's in a community of free Blacks in Brooklyn. And the man who she raised from the dead was escaping slavery and was she brings him back with some herbs because he's been in a coffin to get him out of the slave states. So it's a really interesting beginning. It does cover things like the New York draft riots in 1863 because Brooklyn is, you know, right across the river from Manhattan. And many of the survivors come over. And so Liberty and her mother, the doctor, are treating people. The novel deals a lot with racism and colorism. The doctor is light-skinned and he almost passes white, but doesn't. And her daughter takes on her father's characteristics and is dark-skinned. So the novel does deal a lot with colorism in this country, among whites, and also among African-Americans. At one point, Liberty goes on. She goes to college in Ohio, that college started by abolitionists. And after that, she heads to Haiti, where she still comes across with a colorism that is discriminatory for her. There's a lot of tension between the mother and daughter, because sometimes there is tension between mothers and daughters.
Yes.
Caitlin Greenidge is a contributing writer for the New York Times. Her debut novel won many prizes called We Love You, Charlie Freeman. And this was our first edition, one of our first edition selections, and we have signed copies of it.
Hmm. Oh, go ahead.
Yep.
Go ahead. No, you go. You keep going. You're on a roll.
Okay. Another first edition club selection, which we also have signed copies of, is Whereabouts by Jhumpa Lahiri, who will probably be well known to people. She's had 4 works of fiction, including Interpreter of Maladies, The Namesake, Unaccustomed Earth, and The Lowland, and a work of nonfiction, in other words. And she's received numerous awards, the Pulitzer Prize, Penn Hemingway Award, etc. This novel really keeps the reader guessing from start to finish about where the story is going, which is one reason that the novel stays with you. It has a very unique structure. 46 very, very short vignettes about an unnamed woman in an unnamed country, although we can surmise that the narrator lives in an Italian city. She's an academic and writer in middle age. She has friends in a thriving neighborhood. However, she's often alone, being unmarried and childless. The novel is also unique in that Lahiri wrote it in Italian, which is at least her third language, and then translated herself. So the novel's about solitude and loneliness. What is the difference, and how do they intersect? What will the narrator do to move away from the loneliness that dominates her life? The writing is precise and poetic. In the hands of a less skilled writer, this novel might not work. But Jhumpa Lahiri is a skilled and nuanced writer. So those are my two novels.
Before we jump to that, I have to ask you, Joan Grenier of the Odyssey Bookshop, if Italian is the author's third language, why write it in Italian? What is the advantage from a literature standpoint?
Well, you would have to read her book. She fell in love with Italian, and she teaches at Princeton now, and she moved there. She learned Italian. Her family moved with her there. And then she still goes back. And in the nonfiction book, In Other Words, she details that journey. She's just someone who loves languages. And I believe her first language is Bengali.
I mean, I just wonder why. In other words, the novel or the book itself would change the text somewhat, because no translation is exact.
Right.
Would you really have to read this in Italian to get the gist?
Well, Ray, I don't read Italian, so I don't know the answer to that.
Okay. Well, there...
I have read online that her English translation is very good from the Italian. But I'm not in a position to really know.
Okay, well, that's your resolution for 2021. We'll learn Italian, and then we'll talk again next year. What else is on your list?
Okay, the next one is our state senator, Elizabeth Warren. Her new book is called Persist, and we do have signed copies of this also, and it would make a great graduation gift, either for high school or college. So this is Elizabeth Warren. We know her from her speeches, and it's a combination of her life story, of hearing other people's stories, and her work. You know, there was always this kind of joke, she has a plan for this. Well, she does. She's very serious about how do we make change in this country. And one chapter talks about the wealth tax, which I found extremely interesting. If we taxed fortunes over $50 million. So, Ray, that's not you or I.
No.
Just 2 cents and 3 cents on fortunes over $1 billion. Definitely not us. That would bring in $275 billion a year. And we could do a lot with that. She does focus quite a bit on child care, because unless her Aunt Bee moved in with her for 16 years, she would never have gotten to where she got to, because child care is, you know, can take a whole salary.
Yep.
We could provide free and low cost child care for $70 billion, which would really boost productivity. And then she also talks about pre-K to 12th grade, dealing with the college debt crisis, et cetera. She also points out that in 2014, companies depreciated write-offs totaled $659 billion. So we are paying for other forms of increased productivity. We're paying for robots at GM, et cetera. So anyway, for anyone who's interested in politics and a bit of a policy wonk, this is a great book. It's very accessible, though, very accessible.
Do political books generally sell pretty well for you?
Elizabeth Warren books do. Yeah. Yes, we do sell quite a few political books. Definitely.
All right. Well, we got about 5 minutes left. What else is on your list?
Oh, okay. That went fast.
Yeah, it goes quick.
Okay. I'm going to talk about a book called We Are Each Other's Harvest, Celebrating African-American Farmers, Land, and Legacy. This is a beautiful book, as well as it's just great articles that are written, essays that are written in here. It includes poems, photographs, quotes, first person stories. And one of the people who writes in here is Leah Penniman, who has a farm very near Albany. Maybe you know about it, Soulfire Farm. And it talks about, you know, some of its history, about how Black farmers lost their land through all kinds of machinations, and the Department of Agriculture really passed right over them. Some of these stories are heartbreaking, and this is a major cause of wealth inequality in our country. A couple of statistics here. 98% of rural land is owned by whites. 1.5% of farmers are Black in this country. But she also details farmers like Leah Penniman and other young farmers who are going back to the land. They're being very creative with CSAs and training programs, et cetera. So this is a wonderful book. We Are Each Other's Harvest. And it's by Natalie Bazzilli.
Okay.
Do I have time for one more?
Oh, you have time. Well, I think if we go at a reasonable clip, you have time for two more.
Okay. So the next book is on Juneteenth, and it's written by Annette Gordon-Reed, a historian at Harvard, who's also known for her book, The Hemingins of Monticello, Sally Hemings and the descendants of our president,
Jefferson?
Jefferson. Sorry.
That's okay.
Anyway, she's a Black Texan, and Juneteenth refers to June 19th, 1865, when a Union general arrived in Galveston to proclaim the end of slavery with the defeat of the Confederacy. And I did not know much. Being from Massachusetts, did not know much Texan history. So she covers that because she grew up there. And there was one thing that I found amazing. I just didn't know this. The Six Flags amusement park.
Yeah.
Well, the Six Flags was started in Texas because Texas has had six flags. It's been under Spanish, Mexican, French, the Confederacy, their independent republic for 10 years, and the U.S. flag.
Ah, makes sense.
Yeah, I did not know that. So she really gives, through her family history and through essays on history, she talks about, you know, we have this image of Texas as, you know, cowboys, ranchers, oilmen, but that's really just one part of it. So she details Reconstruction, Jim Crow, and beyond in Texas. And now Juneteenth is being celebrated, you know, across the country in communities.
Yeah.
So it may be on the verge of being recognized as a national holiday. So that's Juneteenth by Annette Gordon Reed.
All right, we have one minute left, Joan.
Okay. Oh, a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful kids book called Teflit and Rube by Jeannie Birdsall of Penderwick's fame and illustrated by Jane Dyer. We just had an event with them at 10 o'clock. I love, 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 love this book. And part of it is that Jane has created these creatures through what do they call it? Needle something. It's needlework.
Yeah, like needlepoint. Yeah.
And it is just the most adorable book. I would say from as soon as they're listening to books up to 10 years old, it reminds me a little bit of Beatrix Potter for some reason.
Oh, cool.
So T-Flex and Rube Make a Mess. Jeannie Birdsall and Jane Dyer.
Well, you know, Joan Grenier, you're a real pro. We are coming to the close of the segment. The Odyssey Bookshop is in South Hadley, Massachusetts. The website is odysseybks.com. And a reminder, Joan's list can be found on our website, wamc.org/roundtable. You had mentioned that your hours and days have been cut way short during the pandemic. Where are you now for that?
Well, we're still Tuesday through Saturday, 11:30 to 5:30. Sometime over the summer, that will change, and we'll expand our hours.
Okay. Well, this was so much fun. I'm glad we had a chance to catch up. Joan, thanks for being here.
Thank you, Ray. Take care.
We'll talk to you soon. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC Northeast Public Radio.